You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Winnipeg Jets postgame edition. And here he is, your host, Drew Mindell.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you live from the MTS Center press box on the heels of a absolutely furious Jets 2-1 victory over the Boston Bruins. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by Richard Pollock. Michael Remus is the fine operator of this program. Dave Manuka and Ezra Ginsberger collecting audio that you'll hear from them later on this podcast. Richie, a hectic game, a furious game, and yet for the first time in 16 games, the Boston Bruins come out on the losing end.
Yeah, Drew, a fairly, I'd say probably a bit of a boring first two periods, but all made up for by the, you know, incredible third period. The atmosphere in the arena was maybe as loud as it's been yet. I thought the quality of play was high, and you saw hits, you saw chances. You got your money's worth tonight if you came to see the Boston Bruins at MTS Center.
Absolutely. I mean, no surprises, you got your money's worth. The Boston Bruins are one of the top teams in the NHL, obviously, defending Stanley Cup champions. And some will already say, you know, they're playing on the second night of a back-to-back. They played last night in Pittsburgh or Monday night in Pittsburgh. They're going to say, oh, a second night of a back-to-back always is going to be a letdown. I didn't notice them, a step slower than normal. I didn't think that it wasn't obvious that the back-to-back played a factor in this game as far as I was concerned.
They got 40 shots on net. I mean, they did not come to play. Did they have the jump in their step that they maybe always do? I'm not sure. And obviously, Tuukka Rask, you know, he was a third star tonight. He's probably wants that first goal back.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought that, I thought it was more a credit due to the Jets than it was a poor performance by the Boston Bruins.
Absolutely. Let's get started right with the game summary. Jets opened the scoring late in the first period at the 18:21 mark. Andrew Ladd streaking down on the left-hand side. A relatively innocuous-looking shot beats Tuukka Rask short side, on the short side top corner. You know, nice shot by Ladd, but really a shot that a save that Rask has to make.
Has to make, Drew. The shot was from basically outside the circle, outside the face-off dot to Rask's right and to Ladd's left. And if you're shooting from outside the face-off dot on the rush and you're letting that in, that's the minor league side, basically, is what they call it. You can't let in a short side goal from there. Ladd is a good shot. He made a nice shot, but that has to be saved. You're a backup goalie. As good as he is, you're a backup goalie. You have to save that shot. Maybe that's why he's a backup. But granted, he's playing behind Tim Thomas. But that's one he needs back. What that does is that gives the Jets confidence, and it also allows the Jets to play with the lead. And I think more so than even the Jets playing with the lead, the Bruins playing behind.
Right.
Needing to get that goal, which they didn't end up getting until the third period. So the Jets had a cushion to play with. They were able to pick their spots a little bit more. I didn't necessarily see Boston completely change their game. But at the same time, they're going to be more aggressive when they can see an opportunity as opposed to maybe if they had the lead or even if the score was tied.
Well, when you're playing against a team and there's a talent disparity between the two teams, and even the biggest Jets homer would probably say that Boston's more talented than the Jets are.
That's for sure.
Just giving them any breath of life is such a huge boost. And that's what Ladd's goal was for the Jets. You know, if Boston comes out and scores that first goal, the Jets immediately are on their heels again, playing against the Stanley Cup champions, a more talented team, and Boston can sort of dictate the style of game at that point. The Jets score first, they get some confidence, they go into the second period with that 1-0 lead, and, you know, that first goal is so important, and it was especially important tonight for the Jets.
The Jets have been getting it a fair amount. I'm not sure the exact stat, but I think they've scored the first goal. I'd say more than their opponent has. Now, one thing I have to say, Drew, about the way the Jets played tonight, the way they've played against the last three teams they've played, New Jersey, Phoenix, and that being Boston. I was filling in yesterday in Hustler and Lawless, and Blake Wheeler said, you know, they have similar styles, all three teams. And he said it's kind of helpful to play those teams leading into the Bruins because they kind of knew what to expect. I found Phoenix to be the least aggressive of the bunch. And I actually found New Jersey to be even more aggressive than Boston. But they kind of found themselves in the middle, and the Jets have played all three teams really well. And I think that's a testament to Claude Noel, and I think that's a testament to the players. And you see the cliche a lot, but buying into the system. The Jets aren't I think you'd agree with this. They aren't forcing things anymore.
Right.
I mean, they're taking what's given to them. Their chances, you know, Ladd takes it off the rush. Little creates an opportunity at a 4-on-4, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But they're not trying to create – again,
playing fire wagon hockey.
When tonight at all do you see any of the defensemen take, you know, a stupid risk?
None. I mean, they pinched. There were times when I thought maybe they shouldn't have pinched, but it didn't cost them at any point. Their mindset certainly has changed from changed to a defensive mindset, and it's light. It's night and day as compared to the Ottawa game from about a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
And so much of it is about. So much of it is about the system. Drew, I mean, look at Boston's team on paper, defense on paper. It's not the best defense in the league. The Jets' defense on paper isn't as good as it is when it's full speed ahead, when they have Ron Hainsey and Tobias Enstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, the way they're playing defense right now, they're playing such a systematic approach. Their forwards are really playing a very defensively aware game, which makes the defensemen able to do what they have to do and not feel like they have to do too much. And I've been really impressed. That's three in a row now, and certainly take you can get, but this is a game that this is bonus points as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. We looked at the schedule and you thought, okay, well, the Jets need, obviously, this homestand they're on is key for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But to get any points against Boston are certainly, like you say, bonus points, and especially an outright win. It'll be interesting to see how they come back. I mean, this game coming up on Friday against Carolina has all the makings of a letdown game, but it's an in-division game. And you have to come out with the same energy and the same style. Our Hurricanes team, they've beaten twice already on the year.
I think you have 2 days off,
yeah,
which allows you, the coach, to get into your head, hey, we can't take this game off. If it was on Thursday, I'd be a little bit more concerned. Friday, I'm a little bit less concerned about the way they come out. But granted, this is a team now that I think this was the first out of the last three, they were always worse than the team in the standings, I believe, right? Phoenix has played well.
Yeah.
Jersey, I think, was ahead of them. I'm pretty sure.
And, they were. So yeah. This is, you're right, in that so Winnipeg is playing a team that is behind them in the standings.
And it's interesting to see. I mean, the Jets have moved up, obviously, over the past little bit. And I'm interested to see how they play against a team that is considered worse than them.
Exactly. Also worth pointing out, and we can't overstate this, Tyler Seguin. Healthy scratch for the Bruins today. Did not dress for the Bruins. He missed apparently the game day breakfast for the Bruins. So Claude Julien sat down his young forward for the game. Said, "Look, if you're not going to be responsible and show up on time, you're not going to play." The Bruins without Seguin are still a very dangerous team. The Bruins with Seguin are even that much more dangerous.
That's a good point, Drew. Yeah, you're exactly right. They replaced him with Jordan Caron on the second line. That line had its moments with Bergeron and with Marchand, but Caron is nothing close to what Seguin is. He's not as dangerous. He doesn't keep defensemen back on their heels. He can't score, obviously, as well. So you're exactly right, Drew. That really did damage the Boston Bruins' depth and ability to create offense. Mind you, they got 40 shots on net, but before the third period, I thought many of those shots were inconsequential outside shots.
True enough. I thought the Jets did a good job for the first 40 minutes of keeping them to the outside.
Yeah.
It was 1-0 for the Jets after 40 minutes. The Bruins opened up the scoring at the 3-minute, 16-second mark of the third period. Sean Thornton had his second of the year with a Cisco and a Danny Paille and Gregory Campbell. The Bruins' fourth line against the Jets' fourth line. Mm-hmm. Jets had a turnover at the defensive blue line. Bruins capitalized, really threw it down low, right in front, tip in. I mean, it's hard to say if, it might have been a deflection accidentally, but it counts all the same, and it was a 1-1 game.
The puck came, yeah, exactly, Drew. The puck came deep into the zone. Paille threw it in front of the net, which is always a smart move. Thornton got the tip. Bogosian didn't have great body position there. He should be between the man and the puck and not allow the Thornton to be closer to the goalie than he is. So that's an issue. But at the same time, it was a turnover of the blue line, I believe, so he wasn't. He was moving forward and had to move backwards. The puck got through Stewart, which happens occasionally. He had four block shots tonight, so the puck doesn't get through him very often. But the puck is through Stewart. The puck's on net. It was a smart play by Boston, but more a lucky goal than a talent goal.
Yeah, I agree with that. That third period really ramped up the energy. You mentioned Mark Stewart. He was a demon blocking shots, as he usually is. Also, a very scary incident. It looked like he got creamed from behind by David Krejci. Depends, of course, on your point of view. I thought it was a hit from behind. Other people thought that Stewart turned into him as the hit was coming. Either way, it looked like it could have been a lot worse. He was down on the ice, really not moving for a good 30 seconds or so, got up, finished the game, seemed to be not too much worse for wear.
Yeah, to me, Drew, if you're not going to call the 5-minute major there, and I can understand that to a point, you have to call the boarding because it was boarding. And I thought that was a blown call, and I think we talk about safety in the game all the time, and that's a very easy call for the refs to make. An opportune time, you make a statement, not only in this game, but also to the league, to the rest of the National Hockey League players. Hitting from behind is a huge problem in minor hockey. It's a problem in the NHL too. And I think within the concussion issues and with all the brain injuries, people have broken their neck with hits like that. You just need to push them up against the boards. I thought it was a dirty play by not a dirty player. Krejci's not a dirty player, but it was a dirty play. And I thought that was a blown call. But granted, we must say, Bogosian jumps in and he gets in a little bit of a tussle.
It's hard to say if, yeah.
I mean, that was maybe the non-call there. They called 2 minutes each for roughing.
Yeah, Bogosian got two. I don't think Stewart.
Yeah, he got two.
It was Bogosian. I know Stewart got two. Was it for roughing, though?
It was Bogosian and Krejci got roughing.
Yeah, they both got
4:44. Right,
they got...
Now, Drew, we must add in the fact that could have been, in theory, called a instigator penalty. So the refs, by not calling it, kind of...
Bogosian has to jump in there, though.
No, I agree. I'm just saying the refs made that decision.
That's right.
So that was kind of making amends for the lack of call.
That's right. I mean, the 4-on-4 actually turned out to benefit the Jets as mere minutes after that. I mean, at 6 seconds after that went down, the faceoff deep in the Jets end, they break out with the puck. Brian Little again coming down on the left hand side with on a 2-on-1, elects to keep the puck, wrist shot right through the 5-hole of Tuukka Rask for what was the eventual game winner.
His speed is an asset, and I leaned over to – I think Dave actually tweeted this. I leaned over to David right before the face-off. I said, Little should be is very dangerous in this situation. And he literally scores 6 seconds later, and that just happens, obviously. But the truth is his speed is an asset at 5-on-5. His speed at 4-on-4 is a tremendous asset because there's more room out there, and he uses speed. He creates space, backed up the defenseman, and that was a really, really, really nice goal. I thought a huge goal for the momentum. The arena really fed off of it. The fans fed off of it, obviously. Yeah. And I think that the players fed off it to a point. I thought that we'll get into it in a second. They fed off it to a point, but if not for Andrei Pavlich.
Well, and we haven't mentioned Andrei Pavlich very much yet, but the truth of the matter is Andrei Pavlich, as we tweeted on the Illegal Curve Twitter page, at Illegal Curve, to follow us on Twitter. As we tweeted, he could have been the first, second, and third stars for the Winnipeg Jets tonight.
After the 12-minute mark, the Jets didn't even create anything, and he was stoning them left and right. There was two sequences where he made back-to-back saves one was 7 seconds apart, the other was 2 seconds apart. Just tremendous saves, both easily good goal-scoring chances. And, I mean, if you take those, even one of those goes in, who knows what happens. So he was the first star, second star, and third star as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the three stars officially were Andrei Pavlich 1, Brian Little number 2, and Tuukka Rask number 3.
Yeah.
Didn't quite understand that third star, but whatever. That's for another day and time.
Let me just add, in the pregame press conference, Mark Chipman spoke to the media about his thoughts on realignment. And, they asked him, what do you think of the Bruins coming in, because his hometown team was the Bruins, and they're like, give us their predictions. I'm not going to give predictions, but if we're going to win this game, our goalie has to be our number one star.
It's the truth pretty much for every game for the Winnipeg Jets,
yes,
for the most part.
Is.
And Andrei Pavlich has also risen to the occasion more often than not this year. His numbers might not be dynamic, but if you watch any Jets victory, he's making some crucial saves at crucial times, and tonight was no different.
And we would certainly be remiss, Drew, and we were speaking about this off air, we would certainly be remiss if we did not point to the fact that Jim Slater was as integral, maybe maybe not as integral, but the next most integral player to the victory for the Jets tonight. He
That's
was
right.
68% in the circle, but I think he won 5 or 6 of the last draws Andrei Pavlich on a strong side.
There were five defensive zone faceoffs for the Jets inside the last about 2.5 minutes of the game,
and
Slater won pretty much all five of them cleanly.
It should be noted that his line mates changed.
That's right.
And he stayed on the ice because he's their best faceoff guy, and it was on his strong side.
Right.
And he still won the draws after being tired, and that was up against Patrice Bergeron. I believe he won 2 against Bergeron. Slater won draws at 68% tonight. Bergeron won him at 65%, and both strong faceoff guys. Bergeron's actually a better statistically, I believe, faceoff guy than Slater, especially for his career at least. I haven't looked at the numbers for this year.
But Slater's definitely turned into be the Jets' number one. When the Jets need to win a faceoff, it's Jim Slater, undoubtedly.
And he was clutch. Those draws were significant reason why this team pulled out the victory tonight.
It was a raucous environment here at MTS Center. The crowd was into it as they are each and every game, but more so, it was just an electric atmosphere here. We were all sort of looking at each other in the press box. I don't recall exactly when the Jets got that standing ovation. Was it after the 2-1 goal, the game-winning goal by Little? That, of course, the crowd comes up.
I think it was after the goal, and then when Mark Stewart came on back on the bench, the crowd erupted.
That could very well be it. Yes. So Mark, the crowd was just into it as they always were. There was a healthy smattering of Bruins fans in the arena tonight. But
there was a loud cheer when the Bruins scored.
Oh yeah, there was the loudest that we've heard so far for an opposing team.
Not that I don't like to see that.
Well, you know what? They're an original six squad. That's always going to happen.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. What do you know? They're not.
Yeah. Well,
I know a little bit about the game. I might not know a ton about the game, but I know a little bit.
I'm trying to get you there, Drew.
I might not have been on Hustler and Lawless for the last 2 days, but I still think I know who the original six
get
in the NHL
ribbon,
are.
Hey, get in the ribbon.
I got to get in the ribbon. You don't expect anything different.
It's got to be. By the way, I mean, I mentioned Blake Wheeler interview before. It's got to be sweet for both Mark Stewart and Blake Wheeler to get the win tonight against their former team on home ice. And you have to know, and Wheeler mentioned this yesterday also, that he wasn't hoping against the team last year, but he wouldn't have minded if they lost. And you understand that. And Mark Stewart, if you noticed tonight, I thought it was interesting. He got plastered against the boards, obviously, by Krejci. But between the whistles, everybody was playing hard. After the whistle, there was opportunities to go at Stewart for maybe some play between the whistles, but there's a lot of respect there, and they didn't touch him. And I thought that was a testament to how well thought of he is on the Bruins team. Because believe you me, this Bruins team
is not afraid to chat
and likes to push it after the whistle. And I thought that was another key to the Jets' success tonight, was that they didn't engage Boston. And that's one of the things I've noticed with this Boston team. If you engage them, you're through. But they didn't engage them. They played them tough between the whistles. But if you engage them, kind of like Buffalo gets in trouble like that, I think that that's...
They feed off being agitators is really what it boils down to.
Yeah, and I think, the whole Miller thing with Lucic, that got Buffalo a little bit out of sorts. And I think the Jets kept their cool. And let's be honest, too. Claude Noel is an even-keel coach. Sometimes you wonder if he's alive.
Yeah.
But that serves the team well in many points in the game.
Oftentimes, the coach takes the team takes the lead from the coach and his attitude. And you're right, very even-keeled. I want to talk quickly. You mentioned Blake Wheeler. I thought he played one of his better games of the year. I thought he had a good jump. He's held off the score sheet today, but that's largely because his line, him, Kane, and Little were matched up against Chara for most of the game. Chara was on Kane like white on rice throughout most of the game.
Yeah, when Boston was able to get that matchup, they did. Now, the Jets did a good job of moving them away from that, but the Kane line is now getting the attention. And I call it the Kane line because that's the top line.
Yeah.
And it's based around him, but it's getting the number one billing now, and you can tell by the way the other teams are employing their top players. Blake Wheeler did play a good game. I thought he was active. He was skating really well.
He shot the puck when he was in a shooting position for once. He normally tries to dipsy doodle, but he actually was in probably between the faceoff circles, and he shot the puck, and he a solid wrist shot on net.
There's lots to like about his game tonight, and he's I think he gets a little bit down on himself, but he's also I think a happy-go-lucky guy.
Sure,
he can be both, I think, and it's nice to see him get the win. I think this win will mean especially more to him because of it's against Boston, and maybe that'll serve him well on Friday when the Hurricanes come to town.
Exactly right. Jets' next action here at MTS Center, Friday night, Carolina Hurricanes visit. Third game between the Jets and the Hurricanes this year. Jets won the first two. Really an opportunity. The Jets play back-to-back Friday, Saturday. They play Carolina, then they go to Detroit. You got to take care of business against Carolina. Otherwise, you lose what sort of the advantage you gained by winning tonight against Boston.
Exactly right, Drew. What you want to do is you want to get points in the bank against the Carolina team, because you're doing what Boston did today. You're flying after a game to another city.
Yeah, on Saturday.
And you're playing Detroit, and that team is rolling right now. And that team is, I'll say this, Carolina's a little bit different than the past three teams they've played, but Detroit's especially different. So the Jets' style that they've been playing against these past three teams, don't think would work so well against Detroit.
If
Detroit can skate with them,
And
Detroit's a better transition team.
If the Jets beat Carolina and end up losing a competitive game to Detroit, they're not going to go crazy about that. That means you won four out of your last five.
Oh,
you've done the job. You've taken care of business at home.
But you said it, Drew. If you lose to Carolina, you blow all the momentum you got from beating Boston.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, you're probably on a two-game losing streak. So you got to take care of business on Friday.
One thing I want to talk to you about, Carolina mentions an intra-division game. We were talking off air. I mean, I don't personally think the Jets are going to make the playoffs, and I've said that numerous times. One thing to take into account and it's obviously early. You assume Florida's going to draw back to the pack. Tampa can't seem to find its legs, older team, and that's maybe not that surprising. We called for a little bit of a drop down for them this year.
Right. Well, they played so many games, so much hockey last year.
Right. And Rolson's been awful. Carolina has struggled. Washington, you assume, will find their way. But if the Jets continue to kind of hold their own within the division, mm-hmm. maybe that division is really bad this year, and they sneak in the back door by winning the division as the eighth or ninth seed kind of seed. So it's something to take into account. Not only watch what the other teams are doing in the conference, but let's watch what the division is doing.
That's right.
Because if this division continues to struggle, maybe Washington is what they are right now.
Every clean division win that you can put together is almost worth more than 2 points.
Yes.
Just before the impact, you take, you know, and that's why Friday's game is so important. They just got to, if you can take the first three against Carolina on the season, worst case scenario you're going to push against them, and best case scenario you're probably going to win 4 or 5
that's
of the
right.
six you play against the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's right. You said it right, Drew. A clean win. None of this overtime.
Everybody gets a point sort of business. That's it from us here at the MTS Center. We'll be back with the Illegal Curve podcast on Friday night. And, of course, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is Saturday, noon to 3 on TSN 1290. Stay tuned for more post-game interviews and audio with Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. For Richard Pollock and Michael Remus, I'm Drew Mindell. Thanks for listening.
Well, that concludes part one of the podcast. Now let's go to part two. Our very own Dave Minuk headed into the Winnipeg Jets dressing room and got some reaction from some of the players. First up, we have the first star of the evening, goaltender Andre Pavlich.
Really good. We play a really good game. They are really tough to play against, especially last month, and they've been on fire, and we did a really good job tonight, and pretty good game. I mean, a lot of shots, both sides, and we had a couple of scoring chances. Took our us play very well, and it was great. When they tied the game, it was kind of lucky goal, but it was a huge. We scored right away, and we got the lead. And after that, we managed the puck really well, and we had a little bit of luck in the end. But great win for us tonight.
That's three games in a row. You guys closed out in the third period. The tenacious forecheck by these guys. You guys getting better at closing out games as each one goes by?
Absolutely, especially against the teams we play last three games. Phoenix, New Jersey, and now Boston. So one of the best teams in the NHL, and we know we can do that. If we play smart, if we play what we want, that we can do it, and we show it tonight, and huge win for us. But tomorrow is another day. We have to keep going, and Friday is another game.
Is this win any bigger than any other win?
For me, it's another game. It's another game, and it's a lot of games in this league, and we play every another day, every 2 points is huge for us, and for me, it was another game against a great team, so big win. Doesn't matter who you play against. If you play well, we play well tonight, and it's a huge win for us.
Talking about your confidence right now.
Well, the confidence comes in with the winning, right? And we won the last couple of games, and the guys in front of me play really well, and block a lot of shots, and that's give you the confidence too. And tonight I think we play solid hockey, solid game, and we did a great job on a PK, and that win the game. So great effort in the third, and like I said, it was a huge after they tied the game. We scored another one right away, and after a great face-off, but like I said, it's one game. Tomorrow's another day, and we have to keep going like that.
You heard from the goalie. Now let's go to the captain, number 16, Andrew Ladd.
I think another big part is just the way they play. They play 200 feet. They come back hard through the middle, take away, a lot of that ice. So if you're trying to make plays through the middle, they can make you pay.
Is this win any bigger than any other win?
I think it's probably our biggest win this year. I mean, against the defending Stanley Cup champions, and earlier on in the year, I don't think we were finding it hard to get over the hurdle of winning those close games, and to do it against the hottest team in the league is a big step for us.
Is the book on Tuukka Rask high short?
I don't know. I mean, you don't have much coming down the far side there, so I figured that was my best shot, and luckily put it where I wanted to.
Little's line's been scoring. You guys haven't. Now you're scoring. This is a team that has to do it by committee.
Yeah, I mean, I think every team in the league, you know, they have different lines that can, you know, put the puck in the net. And, you know, when one line's, you know, struggling to do it, there's other lines to do it. And we've had that the whole year, I think.
Hard not to notice the crowd, but especially tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying that to Litz, after he scored there, it was probably the loudest that I've heard it in here. And, you know, it was a fun game to be a part of, to be in this atmosphere and to have the crowd that involved and that excited. It was just a great game.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's big. You know, there's big key moments in the game where you need to grasp momentum, and I thought that was, you know, the best time to do that. And Litz made a great play off the draw there. I think they were trying to go forward and kind of caught them off guard a little bit, and he made a good read and just shot and scored. I think it just gives us confidence. You know, especially in tight games, to know that we can finish it off and how we're playing, where we played tight, we didn't give them too much. We kind of tried to keep them to the outside. So, and obviously, Pav's play was exceptional. So, something that we can build on for sure.
Stopping their offense, what was key tonight?
You know, it's tough. They come hard. They obviously got a lot of speed for how big they are. They're D jump up in the play. So. You know, it's for us, a lot of times it's getting five guys coming back to the middle and making it tough and keeping them to the outside.
Huge win. I mean, you seem very calm.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's a long year. You're going to have highs and lows, and you know, you got to find a way to stay even keel. But it's an exciting win. But you know, we still got to build on this. We got a long way to go, and we want to get in the playoffs.
It's
kind of
a big deal. I feel like Giant Hunters. I mean, they haven't lost since late October. Their first regulation loss.
Yeah, I mean, and they're bound to lose eventually. You know, we want to make this a tough place to come in and play. And, you know, when teams come here, they want to, you know, be doubting themselves and know they're in for a tough, hard-nosed game. So I think we've done that the last little bit in the way we've played and the style that we've played. And hopefully we continue to do that.
Will you say that?
He was the second star of the game, scored the game-winning goal on a great play where he won the draw to himself and skated up the entire ice. Here he is, Brian Little.
Points against them is, you know, it's really big for us.
First loss in 16 games for them.
Yeah, I know. They've been on a roll, and it's like they couldn't lose for a while. And, you know, we knew it was going to be a tough game, but, you know, I think we just have that confidence now at home that we can beat anyone.
This one didn't hit you in the pants.
No, this one I shot in. Thanks.
Did you feel like it was a rallying point for you once you saw Stewart go down and you guys came back seconds later and scored?
Yeah, you know, like I was saying, it's the loudest I've ever heard. The arena was unbelievable, and I actually didn't see the hit on Stewart. I was trying to look for it on the replay, but they didn't show it, so I can't really say anything about that. But, you know, the crowd was behind us a lot in that third period, and it helped.
What's been, like, the new line combination? You, Kane, and Weaver, guys really are connecting together the last while.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been playing real well as a line, and you know, each of us have been playing pretty good and have a lot of confidence. You know, tonight was kind of a slower night. We didn't really get too many chances, but, you know, it's just one game. And, you know, I think, you know, we're still playing well. We're still getting chances. And, you know, we all have confidence. So that's the main thing.
Brian, do you think the team is doing a lot better lately at protecting leads? And is that something that you've been working on consciously and that's starting to pay off? Or is it just...
Yeah, that's one thing we wanted to get better at from the start of the season. Had some games at the start where we kind of blew leads and let teams back in the game, and you know, lately it feels like we're just playing a lot better in the third period, and you know, we're learning how to shut teams down.
He's the G in the GST line. You heard the crowd tonight chanting GST, GST. It was for this guy, Tanner Glass.
Yeah, it's huge for us. It's a good team over there. Even though we played well, they had lots of chances to score, and just good to buckle down and play with the lead in the third there and grind out the 2 points. Yeah, that's a huge play. He's it's a player with confidence right there to keep that all the way down and to make a great shot. But looked like he was shot out of a cannon there after the faceoff. He just grabbed that puck and took off. So it's a great goal by him. It might be the loudest rink I think I've ever played in. You know, Stanley Cup Finals and everything last year. Like, it's a small building, and when it gets rocking, it is extremely loud.
What does it mean to
come from behind in this one. Not come from behind, but, you know, rally a little bit after they tie it and then hold it down.
Yeah, we could have gone one of two ways there. That's a good bounce by them, and found the back of the net. And for us to respond the way we did is a good sign for a young team to show that kind of resiliency and come back like that.
We heard from the Jets dressing room. IC's Ezra Ginsberg headed over to the visitors room. Let's hear from the coach, Claude Julien.
You guys had a million chances. The goalie was great. I thought the intensity of that game was almost like a playoff game, especially the last part of the game.
Yeah, it was. You know, I thought it was a well-played game from both sides, and they definitely played us really hard and played well. And, both goaltenders were outstanding. I think Tuukka did a great job of keeping us in there at times with some big saves, and so did theirs. And, I thought we had some great opportunities there in the second and even in the third to almost open nets, and we just couldn't converge on them. So it was one of those nights where goals were tough to score, and you got to turn the page here and move on.
You can't be that disappointed though after an effort like that.
Not at all. I just finished talking to the guys, and that's exactly what I said. Is, there's no reason to be disappointed here. I like the effort, and just a tough night where bounces didn't really go our way, and we just got to turn the page, and probably the next game is the telltale. You know, we can't let those kind of things deflate us. At the same time, we should be happy with the consistency that's been in our game now for over a month and a half.
What did you think of Tuukka's night? It seemed like it was slightly inconsistent. He had some great saves.
Wow, I thought he was good tonight. He made some, when you don't play on a regular basis, you got to give him a chance to get into it. And I thought, Joe, that he made some unbelievable saves there at the end and to keep us in there. So I liked his game and his effort. And, again, the other goaltender was just as good at the other end. So it was a good battle in regards to those two.
Coach, what does it feel like to lose a regulation? You guys haven't lost a regulation since October.
Well, to be honest with you, you get used to winning. And, I know the players in there hated it. And so did I as a coaching staff. So hopefully we hate it enough to want to bounce back next game and win another one.
You talk about just the decision there to scratch Sagan for the game.
Well, it's just one of those things you got to do every once in a while as a coach. He missed some meetings, and obviously it's not the first time. And when it's the first time, you give guys a break. But it's happened more than a few times. And at one point, he's got to hold himself responsible. And we felt that he could have easily done that. So hopefully it's a learning thing. But he's a good player, and he's a good individual that's going to bounce back, and he's going to come back and play for us next game.
Kind of the message, no one individual player is above the team, that sort of a thing.
Well, it always has been that way, and every player in that room knows that, and everybody in that room expects those kind of things. And if you start dealing with those issues, it's only going to get worse.
Next up, we have the goaltender, Tuukka Rask.
We're on here, but also you guys feel like you played a hell of a game tonight, I think.
Yeah, you'd tell. We weren't as sharp and fresh as we have been lately, but we played a good game. We had chances. We had plenty of chances, and then, Pavlos played a great game. He robbed us a couple times there. So, loss always a loss, but, just got to move forward now.
You guys played last night in Pittsburgh, and obviously two games in two nights. Does that affect you guys at all, or is it not something that anybody really thinks?
No, we're professional athletes. We just got to... We played these games before, and we know how it is, and I didn't think it affect the result of the game that much. No.
Take us through that last goal there, the little goal.
It was a clear 2-on-1. He made a little backhand forehand shot there, and just squeezed in. Hit my pants, and then trickled in somehow. And it's one of those, sometimes it stays out, sometimes it doesn't, and no, it didn't.
Seemed like that was going to be the difference with Pavlos and the way he was playing at the other end of the ice, too. It was going to be the kind of goal like that.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, he played a heck of a game, and looked like, it was going to be a one-goal game all the way to the end. And we even had some chances after that 2-on-1 goal of theirs, and, he kept them in it.
Before tonight's game, you guys went on a 15-game run where you didn't lose. Have you ever seen anything like this in your career before?
No. No, we were just playing. We had a couple of tough games. We still managed to get the wins, but we were playing solid hockey and great hockey all the way through. And even today, we played a pretty good game. But can't win them all, right?
The loss just as bitter though, even after all those wins that you've been piling up.
It's always I hate losing. Everybody hates losing, but you know, you win some, you lose some. You just gotta, you know, gotta move ahead and shake this one off.
What did you think of this game tonight? Like both teams had plenty of opportunities.
Yes, yeah, you know, it was kind of trading chances somehow. You know, we had our opportunities, and then you know they had some 2-on-1s and then, you know, 3-on-2s and stuff like that. It was a pretty entertaining hockey game, I guess.
And pretty passionate barn here?
Yeah, it was loud. Yeah, I played here once before. Actually, I've been here twice, you know, but it gets loud there, and you know, it looks like they're definitely been waiting for the opportunity to play, have the NHL team in their hometown and cheer for them. Yep.
He slept in. Here he is, number 2 overall pick from last year, Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, it is a mistake. Something you can only really, you know, learn from and move on. But you know, I know it was a mistake, and I know it wasn't you know, professional. And you know, I know it's going to have consequences, and it's against the team rules. And you know, got to pay the consequences.
Did you not set an alarm, or what happened?
I did set an alarm. I woke up to it, but it wasn't Winnipeg time. It was Boston time, and I guess I got in late last night, and you know, didn't think to change it. You know, it was just a mistake, and gotta live with it.
Is there something you can kind of turn into a positive, a motivational thing, just you know, going through?
I guess so. I think you know, anytime you have to go to the stands, it's you know, not something I'm personally happy with, and you know, I told myself never want to be back up there again, and I was tonight, and you know, just watch the game and. You know, you can't do anything about it. It's not a feeling you want back, and hopefully I learn from it.
You said that, Peter said that there have been some other things that have happened. Have there been similar kinds of things? Or?
Last year, you know, something similar happened, and I didn't play the next game for it, and you know, same thing this year.
He scored the Bruins' only goal tonight, Sean Thornton.
Yeah, it's one of those nights where they weren't going in. We generated enough chances to probably win this game, but... you know, last month or so, they've been going in. Tonight they didn't, so we'll turn the page and focus on Thursday. I thought, all in all, we played a pretty good game.
Particularly in light of the fact that you guys played last night?
I mean, that's all mental, as far as I'm concerned. You get up. I mean, we didn't have to skate this morning, so get up, have an extra coffee, come to the rink, and be ready to go. I don't think back-to-back's any excuse, to tell you the truth. I think it's pretty easy to get through as long as you're strong mentally.
I mean,
we hate losing, but at least we put ourselves in a position that it's not where we were a month and a half ago, where this loss would have devastated us. So we've worked hard to get where we are, and like I said, I thought we played good enough to win, and I think that as long as we're doing the right things and being consistent, then we can take a loss every now and again.
As one of the leaders on the team, you hope to experience their same tonight.
I'm sure it is. I've already talked to him. I talked to him at the pregame lunch or whatever it was. He's aware. He's a smart kid. And, I mean, he's only in his second year, but he gets it. So I'm sure. I mean, we've all been through it. We've all made mistakes. Nobody's immune from it. So
he had a great hip check on Evander Kane in the first period, and blocked a shot off his thigh, I believe, in the second period. Had to be taken off the ice. Here he is, Johnny Boychuk.
Yeah, we had a bunch of opportunities. You know, that we had some empty nets or good chances, and we couldn't bury it. Just, I guess, was on our night.
Is that what you chalk it up to, just being one of those games? It's inevitable.
Yeah, you know, it was a good stretch, but now we just got to turn the page and try to go on another streak.
Does loss feel any less bitter when you pile up so many wins before it's
late? Well, it doesn't feel good, that's for sure. But you know, we did some positive things, and you know, we weren't going to win for the rest of the season. We knew a loss was going to come, but you know, it always sucks to lose.
Impressed with the building, just the crowd.
Absolutely, wasn't expecting anything less. That's for sure. Knew that their fans are passionate, and. It was fun to play here. It was a good ice. So, yeah.
Just like Atlanta, right?
And our last interview, he played with Coach Noel in Milwaukee, was traded from Atlanta to Boston last season, number 49, Rich Peverly.
had our chances. They had their chances too, but we definitely had chances. They Pavlik played unbelievable, and you know he was the one of the main reasons why they won.
And you know he's capable of doing that. Just
oh, absolutely, he's stole games when I was in Atlanta, so he's a really smart goaltender.
Played under Coach Claude Noel in Milwaukee. Were you surprised when you heard that he was going to be the first coach of the Jets?
No, I wasn't surprised. He's a great coach. He's, I think, one of the best in the business, and I learned a lot from him. And you know, great opportunity here, and obviously the familiarity with the ownership. So, you know, that's great for him.
What did What did Claude do personally for your game? Because you had obviously a lot of success in the team. To Atlanta after that?
Well, he gave me an opportunity at the American League level. I came from the East Coast League, and then he was a large part in me getting an NHL contract and getting a chance to play in Nashville. So you know, I owe a great deal to him for my career.
Loss hurt any less when you piled up so many wins before and heading into this one?
No, it hurts just as much as any loss, maybe more, and especially when you have a chance to win the game. We definitely had chances, and you know, like I said, Pavlik played unbelievable. You got to give him a lot of credit.
Are you impressed that you played in the building and see where your franchise moved to and the home they have here now?
Yeah, how can you not? The fans are great. They've really welcomed the league back, and I'm really excited for the guys here. They get to play in front of this kind of crowd every home game.
That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. We'll be back Friday, December 9th, when the Jets take on the Hurricanes live from MTS Center. Remember, follow Illegal Curve on Twitter, twitter.com/IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. Visit the website, www.IllegalCurve.com, and subscribe on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes, very easy to find. And if you like the show, give us a positive review. All right, we'll see you again on Friday.